Welcome back into Morning Drive. Hour number three off and running here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live this morning from Bridgestone Arena as we welcome in our buddy Joe Rexrode, columnist for the Tennessean. Rex, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are we this morning?
We are excellent. There's a lot of things to hit on with you. Let me first of all start with Nashville SC. We started with them on our show a couple of hours ago this morning, the big announcement yesterday. What was your biggest takeaway as far as, you know, the name, the logo, and everything that came about?
Well, yeah, I mean, like the logo is fine. I don't know. I know these things get people all fired up. You know, I have it. I looked at it. I get it. I think it's okay. You know, we did like a poll on Twitter, and apparently there's more thumbs down than up. But, you know, to me, people will get used to it. And I think it's smart to keep the name and the colors. And, you know, there was another great party last night at Marathon Music Works, a place I'd never been to. And I was like, wow, this is a, you know, a cool place for live music. They had great music. The SC supporters were in full force, and it was another, good moment as we move toward MLS.
Do you like the idea of the Titans? We've debated this about a million times. With the Titans uniform release and how it happened, we sort of changed our perception about that. I thought it would sort of look kind of silly and you know, minor league-ish, and then I saw it in person. I saw the whole package delivered, and I thought, you know what, it looks a little bit better than I thought. Do you think that those thumbs down that you got, do you think that when people start to see it all come together, that some of that changes to some degree, and that they see the tie-in with the city and the Preds and the colors and this new stadium? Do you think it all changes over time?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Braden, like how many when these new logos, whether it's a team rebranding or there's like a new team, like, I bet you 75% of the time it's like, ew, I don't like that, right? I mean, that just would be my guess. It seems like every time that happens. I think you're right. And actually, I think that's probably why, like, if they could have, you know, done some uniform modeling last night, maybe that would have, you know, given fans a little bit better idea of what it will be. But, yeah, people are going to get used to it. And they're gonna have it on their hats and their shirts, and it'll become. I mean, that's what it is. It'll become what this club is. So I just think usually, and maybe I'm wrong. You guys tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think usually when these things happen, it's more negative than positive.
No, I think you're right, Rex. Because I looked at the logo and I was kind of like majority of the people like, eh. But I think it's one of those things where. Okay, let me see it on billboards. Let me see the team with the uniform. Let me see it on hats and shirts. And then maybe it's not horrible. It's not great, but it'll grow on me eventually. I know it will. Kind of like everything else, like the Titans uniforms. I think when people first saw it, they were like, oh, my goodness. But then as the season started to go on, they started to see the team in it more and more. They started to say, okay, I like this. This is something that I can get used to. And like you said, I think just about every fan base gets to a point where they say, okay, it's not going anywhere. I can learn to like it.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like, yeah, you're going to get used to it, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, like, obviously, I think we all saw it last week, unfortunately, although this seems to happen every time, too. You've got the leaking by the apparel company online. So people had a little bit more time to get used to it before this. But, yeah, once everyone's wearing it and it's on everyone's scarf and everything, I mean, it'll just become the norm.
Joe Rexrode, columnist for the Tennessean, joining us here on Morning Drive. So, Rex, let's get to some hoops from last night. We'll start with the Zion Williamson story with the shoe and the whole injury issue. What side of the ledger are you on? Do you think Zion Williamson should shut it down? He's got nothing left to prove? Or do you think there's still a lot for him to go after on the college ranks?
Well, I mean, I'm on the side of him and whatever he wants to do. You know, I don't have a problem with it. I would never have a problem with anyone in this world, and I love college sports, but I would never criticize anyone for saying, you know what, I got to think about my future, and I'm going to stay healthy before the draft. It bothers me that people are bothered by that. Now, I'm seeing people say, you know, you've got to shut it down, Zion. How could you possibly think about, you know, returning? If he wants to come back and, like, go after a national championship for Duke, I think that's a pretty significant thing in your life. You know, I think that's a worthwhile pursuit. So it's funny that you said, which side are you on, Nick? Because as with so many things, it's like you've got to be all the way over here, you know, or you got to be all the way over there. It's his life. I mean, I hope he plays because I love watching him play, and I think the NCAA tournament would be better for it. But if you want to look at, you know, again, the fact that, I mean, look at there were stories this week about, you know, $2,000 seats, basically traced, and of course this is always a huge game, but basically traced to him. You know, he is in every promo for ESPN for every Duke game. And of course Duke is going to make money and the NCAA is too, but they are absolutely making money off Zion Williamson. And he can't go out and sell an autograph for $100. And that is a big problem for me. So that has to change. But, man, it's his life. So I hope no one would think less of him or have a problem with him coming back.
Well, I mean, listen, you had a bunch of people mad at Kyler Murray because he wasn't going to decide when they wanted him to decide whether he was going to play baseball or football. People are going off on him. People are going to go off on Zion Williams because if he plays, then there are going to be a bunch of people, oh, you're dumb, you shouldn't do it. And if he don't play, they're going to say you quit on your team. I mean, it's just one of those things that are going to happen. And I'm like you. Do what's best for you. If you play, then great. But I guarantee you the other teams that are in contention for a national championship, they hope you don't play. Because now with you not in the game, it makes Duke a little bit more beatable in that sense. I want to talk a tad bit about, you know, the upcoming events here in Nashville, more notably the NFL draft. I think we've covered this theme from just about every angle you can possibly cover it from. Is there and maybe you don't have another angle you can cover this from, but is there probably an angle you can cover, you know, the NFL draft from pertaining to it being in Nashville? We know it's going to bring a big light to Nashville. We know what it's going to do for the city and whatnot. But is there another angle that you can highlight that maybe someone hasn't already?
Well, I know this based on meetings we've had and we'll have. We are going to try to find every single angle in this thing. I mean, it's like all hands on deck. I mean, it's such a huge event, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be fascinating. There's certainly the potential for chaos with this thing. I mean, Derek, if you want to know what my angle is, I want to just sit with the Jets fans. I've always wanted to do this at a draft. I just want to sit right in the middle of the Jets fans and hear every foul thing they say throughout the night. But, no, I mean, the interesting thing, too, like from – media perspective in this town is, of course, you know, would the Preds be in the second round at that point? I mean, what if it's like Winnipeg at Preds game three or whatever, you know, on one of the draft nights? I mean, with everything else going on, you think about that. And then it's like, again, media perspective. So you've got that. You've got the overall spectacle and the city impact and all that. And then you got who the Titans picked. I mean, normally that's what you're focusing on that night. So at this point, I have no idea. But I am serious that I would love to be by the Jets fans. Because
we can make that happen
for you. Going back to, like, Ken O'Brien in 83 when they were so angry. Like, I've always been fascinated by Jets fans at the draft.
Kyle Brady.
But
yes.
Then you got the rock and roll you got the rock and roll marathon.
Oh, yeah.
That is going on that weekend.
Potentially Preds playoff series.
Yes, there's going to be a – and like you said, it has the potential, which I don't think it – will be. I'm confident in the people that who are kind of putting this thing together, the NFL and then the Nashville City Council. But it has the potential to be chaos.
Yeah, I mean, obviously what comes to mind is, you know, the Stanley Cup final and that whole scene. And they did a great job of, you know, of handling that and all the live music. I mean, it was really, really astounding how well and how smoothly that went. But hey, this is NFL draft fans, so, you know, it's a little bit different level here. So, but it's, I mean, I can't wait for it and to see. And I do love the way that they're doing it because I think it's going to be uniquely Nashville.
Rex, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, thanks.
You got it. Joe Rexroad, columnist for the Tennessean. I want to get your guys' reaction to what he had to say there about when he got a little fired up about the Zion Williamson thing, mm-hmm. that he can't make $100 selling his autograph. So let me just throw this question out. You guys let it marinate during the break. We'll take calls on it as well, 615-737-1025. And I don't want to see this happen, but the question is, would it take a serious injury to a generational talent like Zion? I mean, he's been being compared to LeBron. You said it last hour. Generational talent. Would it take a serious injury to a guy like him to get change in the NCAA with the amateurism rule? We'll get into that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. .816, Thursday morning. It's Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live this morning from Jack Daniel's Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena. Tonight, the Predators and the Kings. Stick to Sports coming up at 8:45. Ian Ayer from Nashville SC will join us at the bottom of the hour. But one of the things I wanted to get your guys' take on was what Joe Rexroad had to say regarding Zion Williamson and, you know, whether he should continue playing, so forth and so on. And he said, you know, I'm mad that a guy like Zion Williamson can't make $100 off of his autograph. So, and I know this discussion has been had 52 billion times, and it'll probably never change, but is there anything, like, if Zion Williamson, God forbid, would have tore his ACL
because
that shoe exploded last night, is that the kind of serious issue we need to have to finally get change with these kids getting what they rightfully deserve?
It would be a big talking point. But will it get them what they've been wanting, is, and that is to get paid at the collegiate level? No, I don't think it'd get them what they wanted. It's going to take, and we discussed this off air, it's going to take, you know, a collection of players to do X thing in order for some change to happen. And it's not going to be because a guy got injured. If that was the case, I mean, we've seen guys get injured on the football field that were projected first rounders, and it hadn't changed anything in college football. We've seen guys get hurt in college. You know, in basketball, in previous years, it hadn't changed anything with how they operate as far as paying guys. It's not going to change unless something drastic happens, not on the court. It's going to take something off the court to happen in order for some change to come about.
And let's be very clear. The reason Zion Williamson is at Duke has nothing to do with college basketball.
Oh, no, not at all.
It is the NBA rule that's been put in place to protect the NBA from itself because it kept taking bad draft picks in the top of the draft. So they put a rule in place that said, oh, no, you have to go to college for a year. This is not a college rule. We have to remember that. The colleges didn't decide that these players had to go to college. All it has to do, if you're the NBA, is just say, give them a second option. That's all you got to do. College football, college basketball, if there is a second option, because guess what? College isn't for everyone, and that's okay. I wish it was for everyone, but it's not. And if you're a really talented football player or basketball player and there is an alternative choice to getting to the professional ranks without having to go to college, that's all you got to present people with, mm-hmm. is a choice. As long as there is a second option, and in, I think the NBA is angling towards the G League being that second option for a Zion Williamson to say, you know what, what's best for my career? Go to a big, high-profile college basketball program, get great coaching, live a great lifestyle, and play on national TV all the time, or make money right now and go play in the G League, develop my game, get coached by NBA coaches, and maybe go to the league the next year. Like, as long as there is an option available, because we've seen kids go, Brandon Jennings went to Europe, Emmanuel Mudiay went to China, I think. There's guys that have gone out and not gone to the college route for 1 year, and as long as there is another option, the NCAA can say, you can go do whatever you want, but if you come here, these are our rules. And as long as there is a second option, that's what solves it. Now, I will say this on the – I think the NCAA across the board, football and basketball, has moved drastically towards helping the athletes. It's why 51 players out of 64 are eligible in football, right? Because mm-hmm. the NCAA is moving – it's why there's unlimited food rules. It's why they've added the stipend to try to pay players a little bit more – on the back end. Every single thing that has that has happened in major athletics has helped the student athlete over the last 10 years. We're not there yet. We need more health care for these kids when they get injured. We need more things. I'm not sure giving them an extra couple hundred bucks every semester is going to solve a problem. I think if you're big enough to sign your own autographs, though, and you can have a name, image, and likeness conversation, that's a different conversation. Todd Gurley getting suspended four games. Todd Gurley got suspended four games for signing some autographs that was his name.
If you are the caliber player that can set up an autograph session in the offseason, then you should be able to do that.
Yes, and that is where the name, image, and likeness lawsuit is going to come in. That is not the same, though, as universities paying athletes as employees. That is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. That changes too much of the – that removes the amateur model. Universities are tax-exempt right now for the most part. There's no chance they're going to have their – Vanderbilt's going to have its $600 billion dollar endowment taxed all of a sudden. That ain't going to happen. So it's just not going to – it's that's never going to happen. But could the AAF or the XFL become a second choice for a kid who's maybe not built for college, right? Like maybe he doesn't have the grades. Maybe he got in trouble off the field. Maybe he needs to be close to home for something. There can be a million reasons why college isn't for you. And so as long as there's a second option or an additional choice for these kids coming out of high school – to still get to their professional ranks and get some income, then I don't know why the amateur model would ever go away. College football is safe as long as there's a second choice. College basketball is safe as long as there's a second choice.
Well, one of the things I've always had a hard time trying to like quantify is we realize football and basketball generate a ton of revenue. The rest of these sports, by and large, do not. Mm-hmm. And then you look, let's just go within basketball. Like Zion Williamson, we all realize that dude is making Duke a ton of money.
Of course.
And Duke's making him more valuable as well.
And then you go to like football, like Tua Tagovailoa makes Alabama money. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, a starter that's a good player that's going to be in the NFL that isn't a rock star household name, how do we quantify what he brings in?
It's been done. They've had some studies on this. And by and large, there are 1% of 1% of individuals that move the needle in football because football is such a mass. You have 100 guys on a team that if you actually were to say pick Tennessee or Alabama, let's say, and you've got to keep 100 young people fed, clothed, educated, going through their day with five-star nutritionists and chefs and workout facilities and tutors and all this stuff, it is a net drag on your company. If my business is University of Tennessee football, of those 85 scholarship players, probably 75 of them cost me money. That's I think what people don't understand is like you're probably talking about 90%. Like Johnny Manziel made Texas A&M money, no question about it. There's no question. Johnny and Tim Tebow made Florida money, right? Like Vince Young made Texas money, but like the 65 of the other 85 guys on that team didn't. They didn't make Texas money. They cost Texas money or Florida or Bama or whatever. And that's where I think the name, image, and likeness thing can come in because that way you can say, all right, if you're valuable enough to go sell your autograph, then you're allowed to go sell your autograph. But if we start paying the starting quarterback X amount of dollars at every school, then what happens if he gets hurt? Do we automatically pay the backup? I mean, it's never going to happen. It's not going to be a thing. And it's important to understand that the majority of these student athletes do not actually generate revenue for their institutions.
So then why do
it's
people
– tiny select few at the top of the
– why list. Do people get so mad then if 90% of your roster is an expense, not a asset, why do we get mad when a coach makes $6 million a year? Because the reality is Duke makes the money they do because they win and Mike Krzyzewski is brilliant.
And 100 year, and 75 years of
just great
brand equity. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about brands. Let's talk about what your company is worth in the marketplace, right? Like, don't tell me that Alabama doesn't make you a more high-profile individual. If I'm playing on CBS every single Saturday, or if I'm Zion, I'm on Duke, I'm on ESPN every single Tuesday and Saturday night, mm-hmm. You don't think that raises my profile to some degree? It does. So I'm not suggesting that person isn't more important than the brand. But the other thing, what industry in this country does the top guy or woman not make the majority of the money?
Yeah, you're right.
Tell me a business where
everybody makes the same amount.
Every CEO of every company is the one who's getting rich, okay? Like, let's be very clear about this. Yeah. The football coach makes all of the money because the laborers don't. How is that any different than any other industry in our country right now?
It's no different. And so I think the argument need not be about the head coach, because the head coach is going to make his money regardless if the team's great or not. He's going to make X amount of dollars. He's going to be the highest paid or one of the highest paid employees in the state employees. He's going to be – he or she is going to be one of the highest paid.
Yeah. So let's just Which is kinda, why I don't yeah, care about his feelings,
exactly.
frankly.
Let's just kind of let's get away from that. But I just don't understand, you know, at times where, you know, people say, well, you know, these kids, they're getting a free education. Well, that argument is tired. Let's throw that out the window, because yes, they are getting a free education, but the university is making so much money. It costs on average $2,600 to get inside the building.
For last night's game. But there's only like 8,000.
Yeah, but it's still 2,600 on average. And the highest seat I believe was like $10,000-$12,000 to get inside that.
Think Obama had to pay full price?
No, he didn't pay at all.
I don't think he paid.
He's the president. He's the former president. but again, the notion that these kids are getting a free education, that should be enough. No, it's really not enough.
Not for the ones who are worth more than
not
that.
Not for what it takes for these student athletes. I call them athletic students to go and have to perform at a high level, have to go to class, have to do this, have to do that. They have to do things that regular students just don't have to worry about doing.
Well, and that's why they get things that regular
exactly.
students don't get.
Exactly. And so. I've never understood that a kid that's 17 years old, if he has an invention, cannot go to college, invent something, and people praise him or her, because they've opened their own business, they're selling T-shirts, whatever the case may be. But the minute one of these young men or young women wants to skip college and go straight to high school, or wants to be compensated for what they're doing, now all of a sudden it's a problem. What they have is a commodity. They are their own business. They are, you know, in a sense, self-employed. They are entrepreneurs, you know. So why can't they, as entrepreneurs, be able to say, you know what, I really don't want to go to college. I just want to go play in the NBA. I just want to go play in the WNBA. I just want to go play in the NFL. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Exactly. So nothing. People need to stop arguing that.
Now,
if they won't choose to go to college, then they should be compensated. How you compensate them, I think it's the way we said. If you are able to sell your likeness, allow them to sell it.
Yeah.
Because the university's doing it.
And to your earlier point, Nick, I know we got to go here, but you said the NCAA doesn't make a ton of money. The institutions make a ton of money, and really it's the coaches who are making the money. The institutions put all of that money back into the student-athletes. Mm-hmm. If Alabama makes $138 million or whatever it is, $160 million, well, if you look at their expenses, they're spending about $158 million on on everything, because their waterfall has to be 10 feet taller than Auburn's waterfall. and that's how that's how we got to get more players to come to Auburn.
Auburn has a $100,000 fish tank.
Ours is 101. 101,000.
Yeah, 101,000.
Like they've got a 10,000 gallon tank. Ours is 11,000.
11. Let's bump. Oh, they got a shark. Let's get a whale.
But like you look at what Clemson does. Like they're building putt courses and slides, and it's all to benefit the student athlete to make their lives better. And that is smart investment to make it a better choice. It's there still needs to be a second choice.
That's why we need better seats. That's why we need chairs.
There needs to be.
I knew you were going to. All right, on that note, shut it down. When we come back, what went into the new logo?
Still don't have our chairs.
Why did the name stay the same? We'll get those answers from Ian Air next here on Morning Drive. All right, welcome back in 8:32 here on a Thursday morning. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stick to Sports is coming up in just about 13 minutes. But right now, we welcome in Ian Air, Nashville SC. Ian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good to have you in. So a lot of people reacting to yesterday. I was a big fan of the logo. There's been some positive reviews and some not so positive reviews. I want to get your thought process as to how did this come about, and what went into the logo specifically?
Sure. We went back quite a while ago and looked at what we wanted to create, what the team needed to be about, which was all about the city of Nashville, the game of soccer. And really, it's a combination of kind of energy, which Nashville has, and sport and sound And so as you can see in the logo, you know, we looked with our agency to design something that really captured that spirit. We wanted it to be very clean. Our colors were defined mostly by our supporters, to be honest, who really have kind of had over the years named themselves the Boys in Gold. So we took that prominent gold color, and you can see the N coming together is kind of made up from the sound waves. And you know, I'm not surprised that there's kind of mixed views, because that's often the case when you make change. But we think it's been very positive. And as I said last night at the event, you know, the logo identifies us, but it's what we do and the values and the quality of the team we put on the pitch that will define us. So we're really happy about how it went, and it was a great evening.
So what's the next order of business for you, sir? What's the next big dot thing on your list there, Ian?
Yeah, it's a long list. We're pretty close to getting to a point where we'll announce our new coach. So I think that's probably the next big peak for us. And then lots of kind of harder, longer, bigger, you know, things to achieve. So obviously our stadium, our training and practice facility, a youth academy, all big infrastructure projects that just take time but need a lot of work day to day. And you know, and then we'll go into developing our first jersey for launch later this year. So many things to do and people to hire, but all very exciting.
What is the thought process and sort of the strategy around picking a coach? Is it more about personality fit with the city, with Jacobs, the technical director, with you know, the culture of the company you want to build? Is it about style of play? Sort of take us through the strategy of what you're considering in this process.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of those. You're right. You know, I'm very big on building a culture and a team that fit together rather than just individuals. I think in sports that's really essential, and certainly been my experience at other clubs that the better the harmony you can create, particularly in that technical group, the better the outcome on the field. So it's been a lot about understanding who the best fit is as a person, but then also, of course, that only takes you so far, and you have to have somebody who's capable of going to this competition and competing and not just taking part. So we've worked our way through, interviewed a lot of people, did a lot of analysis around different people, personalities, experience, achievements. And as I say, we're pretty much nearly there, and hope to have an announcement on that pretty soon.
Now, with the official, with the season coming up, and I think a little bit over a year now, is there a drop dead date where you want to have everything in place, or you're just gonna try to, we're going to do the things necessary to get everything in place when we feel the time. We're not in any rush to, even though I know you want to name a coach, but you're not in this dire need to name a coach like next week. Is there like a drop dead date where you want to have everything in place before you get going?
Yeah, I think that's the answer to that is kind of different for different things. Obviously we'll have a hard stop date, which is the first game of the season next year. But, you know, as we go into January of 2020, the team, you know, the roster will start to come back to, you know, or at least will come to Nashville to start training in preparation preseason. So, you know, if you work backwards from that, probably 2-3 months out, you know, we're going to start populating that roster in terms of getting those deals signed with players. So you need a coach there then who's part of that decision making, and probably a little bit further back than that, to be honest. So that's the reason we went to it early, because we feel that the coach needs to be an integral part of the journey we go on in 2019 to choose those players that will populate the roster for 2020. So it's not essential that we have the coach in the building in the next couple of weeks, but I think the sooner the better for me. I think coach and the GM, you know, Mike Jacobs and his team, all of them working together through 19 to ensure, you know, we have to find 30 players for this roster. So it's a not inconsequential task and probably one of the most important pieces of the jigsaw. So the sooner we get started, and we are started on that, you know, generally, but soon as we can get everybody in who's involved in that, the better.
Ian, congrats on yesterday. Continued success moving forward, and I'm sure we will be talking very soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your support. Take care.
You got it. Ian Ayer, Nashville SC CEO. As a big day yesterday. Logo, team name stays the same. Good day for the program.
Yeah, great ceremony and you know, execution with the, you know, good music and good times were had by all at Marathon Music Works. I think keeping the name is a great decision. The logo change will take a little bit of time, as usual. But as you heard, I think we need to see what the full uniform looks like with the stadium, with the, you know, the promotional material. See how it all kind of plays together before we make a final judgment on that. They're going to have to name a head coach, I would assume, fairly soon. I think the quote there he said, if I'm pulling it correctly, is we expect to have an announcement very soon about this. So that's coming and in the works. And I think that's the next big bullet point for soccer fans in the city is who's going to be the guy that leads this team. And so we'll see what happens.
He kind of played it backwards. He said, well, by January of 2020, the team should be here. The players should be here so they can start, you know, going through practices and everything. But then he kind of worked backwards from there. So I would say within the next month or so, they want to have a coach in place so the coach and the GM can kind of, you know, formalize how they want this roster built.
Coming up top of the hour, Lindsay Rally from the Preds television broadcast, Fox Sports Tennessee. She'll join us to talk all things Preds. But coming up next, we stick to sports here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Xfinity, guys, let me tell you about Xfinity. All of your experiences, all your TV, all of your great stuff, all together in one place. All your entertainment together at last. That's right, Xfinity gives you your favorite movies and shows and the fastest way to find them all. Access to everything from live TV, on demand, Netflix, YouTube, Prime Video, all that with just the sound of your voice. You want to rewatch that show for the third time because you keep falling asleep on the couch every single night because you're tired? On Netflix, just tell your X1 voice remote. How about a compilation of cute puppy videos or maybe cat videos? I'm not sure which one I like better. On YouTube, your remote is all ears. All you've ever wanted, all you've ever needed, all in one place. That's how Xfinity makes life simple, easy, and awesome. Now through February 21st. That's today. Today's the last day. Get a special offer on Xfinity Internet and TV for $35 each a month and for 2 years when you bundle both with a 2-year agreement. Plus, you get Stars and Showtime included for a year. That's pretty cool. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today for more details. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. Restrictions apply. New X1 Starter Double Play customers only. Includes up to 150 megabits download speed. Actual speeds vary. Equipment taxes and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra, and subject to change. After term and premium promo, regular rates apply. Netflix and Prime memberships are required.
All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D. Mace, and the Constable. We're live this morning. Jack Daniels, Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena. Lindsay Rally, top of the hour, will join us here at Barrel House. Hal Gill coming up at 9:30. But right now, it's 8:45, so let's stick to sports.
Let's see how smart the guys really are. No funny business. Stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
And Derek Mason. It is presented by
Decorating Den Interiors. Stick with the pros.
You okay?
At Decorating Den. If you want your home, office, or outdoor spaces, even a desk in the studio.
What if perhaps I would like fancy new chairs?
Ah, that too. They can help you out in that scenario.
Interesting.
Could they upholster the chair?
Yeah.
I think they can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever
they
want to.
Because they're the pros.
It's Decorating Den. They're the pros. Yeah. They're no amateurs. Only amateurs can do certain things. But when you are a pro,
everything.
When you are the Hall of Fame of decorating, then you can do whatever you want.
Yep, it's true.
Put it together, man. Call them for a free appointment. We know what it is. Free, F-R-E-E, or however you want to spell free. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. We know what you mean.
Pro bono.
Yeah. Take it. How you get it.
We still don't have the chairs.
Yeah, we still don't have the chairs. It's a process. I don't even think it's in the portal. But
it's not in the portal.
I can confirm it is in the portal.
Oh, it's in the portal. Yes.
The chairs have transferred from studio to studio.
We've looked into the portal and we're looking for chairs in the portal to see which chairs want to come play for us.
Shake it, shake it, shake it. www.decoratedden.com. Shake it, shake it, shake it. Yes. I'm doing a happy dance.
What is in that bottle? Because I need it.
Got some of that yak?
The hen dog.
The hen dog.
All right, let's go back to a man who's in a chair right now, Josh Upton. Go ahead, Josh.
Number one.
And a very, very comfortable chair. Thank you so much to Cromwell Radio for providing me with this very comfortable chair. Good back support. If you could have one historical figure coach your favorite team, who would you choose and why?
George Washington.
Martin Luther King.
Abe Lincoln.
We're just talking historical figuring.
Winston
general.
Churchill would be a great coach. Oh, he'd just yell at people all day.
I don't know, man. Goodness.
I mean, GW won the biggest victory in the history of our country, right?
I would have Malcolm X.
See, the problem with Dr. King as the coach is, like, he would want to solve everything peacefully.
Yeah, I'm Malcolm X, man. Give me Malcolm.
He was okay with a little bit more anger.
What if you were a fan of George Washington University and George Washington coached George Washington University?
Or a guy named George Washington.
You'd have, like, GW on GW.
Minus 10.
Right.
Minus 10.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, next. Malcolm X for me,
yeah,
man.
I agree.
I didn't have coffee this morning.
Well, Marcus
That's
Garvey.
Another story.
Somebody like that.
I don't know. Yeah, I think Abe.
Harriet Tubman.
I mean, yeah. Like, any of those people would work.
William Taft.
If you're able to lead thousands and thousands of slaves to freedom,
yeah,
you can win a bunch of national championships. So
give me
her. I'm taking her all
cool
day, every
that.
Day.
I'm cool with that.
Number two.
Above Ground Railroad.
Exactly.
If you could go back in time and fix your biggest regret or go to space, which one would you choose?
Where do you come up with this?
I would fix my biggest. I would go back and fix.
That's a pretty good question,
regret.
Actually.
It is a good question.
I don't think I'd fix my biggest.
But, like,
regret.
The question is good from the standpoint of if you could go back and fix the mistake, but why do you throw in the or go to space?
Exactly.
He's trying to be creative.
It's like a hodgepodge of brain malfunctions.
Okay, go to space and do what I get there?
Listen, here's the thing, though. Listen. there are very few things that if you told me, like, all right, these are all the things you could do in your life. Going to space would be near the top of the list, right? Like,
but it's going to space and do what when I get there?
I don't drink some brown water. I don't care. Like, I'm just going to sit up there and enjoy myself. Look at the universe. Like, wouldn't going to space be cool?
But you forget the Earth is flat.
My problem with changing regrets is after surviving a near-death experience yesterday is – I think even your bad decisions happen for a reason.
Oh,
and
I'm
going to be all, like, about fate and stuff today. I'm going to say, oh, things happen for a reason. Even the bad decisions you make sometimes lead
it
to good things in life.
Are.
Makes you who you are. Blah, 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 blah. Put me on a rocket.
No,
put me on a rocket to space.
I'm changing.
I want to be on the Starship Enterprise.
I want to go to space.
I can do that.
Now, if you said I was going to be on a Starship, then, yeah, maybe. But, no, I will change – things in my life.
You only get one.
I would change a particular thing in my life. So.
I have too many things I regret, so I can't change.
No, it's just
all of
one,
them.
It's a few, but one in particular. So,
and Josh, do not ask him what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, do not ask me what that one is. But
we'll skip
change.
Number three.
look, we know what it is. You wish you would sign with the New England Patriots and not the Baltimore.
No, that's one of them, but it's not the biggest.
You don't
one.
Get to change that one. You only get one.
Yeah, I only get one.
You only get one. Put me in space.
Nick, you want to pick one?
What's that?
You want to pick one?
He's over here texting. What is he doing?
Just go. Go to the next one.
Would you rather change a regret or go to space?
Go to space.
It's a simple question, Norm.
What if the moon was made of spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
I think you would go to space.
If the predator monster promised not to kill anybody, would you play him in the outfield?
I'd rather go to space.
Yeah.
Number three.
See, that wasn't so hard.
No.
Would you rather lose your sense of taste for all liquids?
Yeah, here's the thing
Let him finish.
This is why I don't answer these.
Let him finish. Go ahead.
Because they're
Josh.
Hard?
Because they're awful.
No, they're easy,
awful.
But go. Josh,
continue,
finish.
Josh.
Would you rather lose your sense of taste for all liquids or for all solids?
Interesting. Jesus.
You come up with questions that make you want to think.
I'm gonna go with liquids because you can survive off water.
You can't taste your brown water.
That's fine.
Oh, you're good with that?
I would want to eat I would want to taste all the millions of different foods.
Yeah, you're right. I'm with you.
Because I can still I can still just drink water and be fine
but
for the rest of my
life. You're not tasting the you're not drinking the brown water for the taste. You're drinking it for the end result, right?
Speak for yourself. No. I don't drink to get drunk. No. That was when I was in college, maybe.
Yeah.
I drink.
You savor the taste.
Yes, I sip on it, and I have like two fingers at the most, and it's a $40 $40 bottle of bourbon, and I'm not trying to get wasted. I'm trying to take a sip. Like,
I just love how
maybe three fingers.
Like Josh,
and they're
just,
wet.
Josh just comes up with these random questions. Yet Chase is always like finding stories about guys in Florida. Man, it's like it's a totally different.
He's like,
feel.
There's a moose in a museum drinking beer. Would you rather be the moose or the beer?
Did you guys look up that park in North in Korea?
No.
Did you guys look that up?
Oh, with a lot of Richards?
Yeah, a lot of Richards.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Richards.
Very
Richards Bespoke. Love
exactly.
That place.
Yeah.
What do you you know? There's an animal called a dick. Do you know that?
A dick.
It's an animal. It's like a deer. DIK-DIK. My father, who always got me in trouble for saying like sucks. Like I couldn't say sucks as a kid.
My parents, sucks.
My parents had a pretty strict language regimen as a kid, but my father thought it was the funniest thing in the world to walk around. Like when we were kids, and he'd be like, we'd be watching some nature show, and he'd be like, look, there's a dick right there on the TV. He just lost it. He thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
Number four.
True story.
Great story.
I don't drink to get drunk. I just drink to forget.
So I like
fair.
That. I like it.
You just wrote a country song right there. Top 10 hit right there.
I don't drink to get drunk. I just drink to forget it.
Right. Speaking of songs.
See, you got some country in you, man.
Yeah. We three chords and the truth.
We could use another not Josh Upton song.
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
That last one was pretty
good. Yeah, I saw the guy that wasn't Josh Upton yesterday.
There's one in the works. Yeah. Not Josh Upton Productions.
Best one yet.
Is on the case.
Yeah. Yep. Number four.
All right, number four. We'll go back to the traditional style that you prefer so much. A man in Oklahoma,
Oklahoma man,
says he stole a Pepsi truck to get to the airport after he got into an argument with his girlfriend. So his girlfriend was taking off. It was just like the movies. His girlfriend was running off to the airport. They got into an argument. He stole a Pepsi truck with the driver still in it. The driver jumped out. Pepsi's flying out all over the place. Police finally catch up to him in traffic, and he says he was trying to chase down his girlfriend who was leaving after an argument. Are you on this guy's side? Was this
I'm
too reckless?
Side. Wait.
No, I'm on the guy's side.
I have one question for the guy. Is he chasing her down to try to woo her back?
Yeah.
Or is he chasing her down to continue the argument and yell at her and scream at her or maybe do something worse?
The girlfriend says that he was searching for her. So that doesn't sound so sweet.
Yeah, I don't think it was a good thing. So I'm on board with felony and chasing down women, arrest.
But if he was chasing her down to woo her back like the movies, then I'm like, go for it, buddy.
Give her a police escort. Give him a police escort.
And once he stops and he gets in front of her, I just want everybody to get out of their cars and start clapping. You know?
Give him a chance.
Yeah.
Although it sounds sounds like she didn't want to be found, though. So.
Dude, this story is the exact plot from Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, where his wife's leaving at the end of the movie, and he goes running down the airport, and he goes flying out the ramp of the runway.
The amount of things that happen at the end of that movie that are just not allowed. Like, TSA would have arrested him 36 times.
He jumps on the bag of luggage and goes through the conveyor belt while he's hugging the luggage.
He's driving on the tarmac, the staircase car. And I'm like, what airport?
In what world do they allow you?
It was pre-9/11.
Yeah, pre-9/11. So you could do a lot of things pre-9/11. Yeah.
You could drive staircases all over the airport. Liar, liar?
Yeah,
Josh, I don't think,
97?
Josh, you remember mid-90s. Prior 9/11 when
it was Chase
an airport. Or Chase.
1997.
Yeah.
That's
when Jim Carrey made good movies.
Yeah, great scene.
We didn't have to take off our shoes.
Which,
by
the way,
stuff we didn't have to
which
do.
Also, by the way, doesn't stop anything. No. Like, that's the other funny part. All this stuff that we do doesn't actually stop anything.
Why would
number five?
It's a mental thing.
Speaking of Florida, man, I'm not quite sure what year. I think this was in 2014. A Florida man used a cell phone jammer every day while driving to work because he didn't want drivers around him to be distracted and on their phone.
I love that.
He was fined $48,000.
Oh, hell.
Do you agree?
You can afford it, Derek.
Derek,
fine.
Pay the fine.
Pay the fine and do
but
it
that is
all
so
the way down 65
awesome.
Every morning.
Like, that is – but then again, you might cause an accident, too, because people are like, what's wrong with my phone? and they're looking at their phone trying to figure out what's wrong with my phone. Then you cause a bigger accident. But
D-Mace would have been like, you want me to round that up to just an even 50, officer?
I can think of some scenarios, though, where I would like it to happen where it doesn't cause damage, right?
Yeah.
Like if I'm at a you know, Chaser, you went to a concert last night at sort of an intimate venue.
I did.
If I could jam up everybody's cell phone so that nobody could use their cell phone while I'm trying to enjoy an intimate concert, I might do that. Because that's why some people make you put your phone in a bag before you go to watch a concert, because they don't want people staring at their phones the whole time, taking videos and bothering people around them.
All right, that's going to do it for another edition of Stick to Sports. Job well done, Josh Upton. I don't mean that, but I'm just going to say that as my transition to the final hour.
Thank you.
Lindsey Rally will join us on set when we come back. We've got Hal Gill, the big finish, a big final hour coming up next here on Morning Drive.